This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Gaza war a step closer to an end. The first phase of a ceasefire agreement is now in effect, says ABC's Mary Bruce at the White House.
This morning, joy and relief as a ceasefire is now in effect, paving the way for the remaining hostages to be released early next week after being held by Hamas for more than 2 years. In Gaza, thousands seen heading north back to Gaza City, just moments after the ceasefire was made official.
No Nobel Peace Prize, though, for President Trump. It's awarded to Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado. No pay for U.S. military members October 15th if the government shutdown's not resolved by then. And the Senate left Washington Thursday without passing a funding bill. U.S. troops have never missed a paycheck because of a shutdown. New York Attorney General Letitia James called bank fraud and false statement charges against her baseless and accused President Trump, who pushed for those charges, of weaponization. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Several citizens again voiced their objections to a development being built at Story Field at last night's Richland Center City Council meeting. The consensus was that they would like to see it go to referendum to let the people decide. Pursuant to the Common Council's approval of the Story Field pre-development agreement on September 24th, a development agreement for the 8-duplex, 16-unit, zero-step housing project. The developer has completed a preliminary review and deemed the draft acceptable. The city and the developer will continue to work together to finalize the agreement. Key details of the agreement include recognizing the substantial private investment and infrastructure obligations, and to incentivize this housing project. The city will sell the land for $1. Planning and engineering will begin immediately, with site construction to start by May 15, 2026. The developer must complete the project within 2 years of construction. A performance clause requires payment in lieu of taxes if the project is not completed within that time frame. The developer is responsible for constructing all required public infrastructure in compliance with all applicable standards and permits. Three options were considered by the council. Option A, to retain only the stormwater management area of approximately a half acre with no space for public use. Option B, to retain the stormwater management area plus public use space of approximately an acre. Or option C, to retain the stormwater management area plus public use space of approximately 1.4 acres. The council unanimously approved moving forward with option C.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Crew lose again to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the NLDS. There will be a Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. The Brewers shut out by the Cubs, 6-0 at Wrigley Field. Freddie Peralta surrendered a three-run home run in the bottom of the first to Chicago's Ian Happ. Pat Murphy.
The first inning is always the toughest for a pitcher, especially in environments like this and big games. The first inning can always be the struggle, and hadn't shown him the heater yet. Got too much in the middle of the plate.
First pitch at 7:08 tomorrow night at AmFam Field. College football, the Badgers host the Hawkeyes tomorrow night in Madison, kickoff 6 p.m. Wisconsin lost 42-10 last year at Iowa.
The focus is, you know, obviously what happened last year and what it is that we need to do to change all that happened last year. It'll be a physical, tough, hard-nosed game. Nothing different than what you would expect from an Iowa-Wisconsin football game. We've got to make sure that Saturday night we're ready to roll.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
It is going to be another really nice fall day today. Partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, another great day with sunshine and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, you've heard the voice. First and 10, Wisconsin, and Ron Dane. Now meet the man behind the voice, Mike Mankey, Badger PA announcer, in studio with us next time.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wasota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
There we go. The dulcet tones of Don Rue welcoming us back to the Lake Wasota studio here in Chippewa Falls. Nice to be home after a week of travels on this Friday morning, October 10th, 2025. Nice to have you along back here up north from wherever you're listening all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Nice to be here back for the fall weather. It was still in the mid to upper 80s when I left here last week. Hard to believe that it was, you know, that only that long ago. It was that warm around here, and here we are in the long sleeve shirts and the leaves starting to fall as well, and there is just nothing like fall in Wisconsin. In fact, that we did a whole special edition of our Up North News daily newsletter about that recently, which you can always check out. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. As for today's edition, well, you'll recall that last week I said that Ellie, our new newsletter writer, was asking people to share stories and photos of their favorite small business in their hometown. And so a few that she singled out here include Rosalie's Book Boutique in Beaver Dam. There's Geiger Awards and Apparel in Waukesha, Maker's Market Square in Mount Horeb, and The Hub in West Bend. And in every case, a reader has put some really nice comments about what makes them their favorite little hometown shop. And Ellie is now asking for next Friday, share your favorite local pizza place. I know we've talked about that on the show here. It's been a while, but we did, you know, give us your best non-chain local pizza joint. And we got tremendous response at the time. So I would definitely urge you to do the same thing for Ellie. She's going to be joining all the other newsletter readers in collecting comments. But you know what? If you want to put in your two cents, you got a couple of different ways to do that. Either jump in the comment sections on social media. You can watch us do the show on the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages and the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. Or if you're like, Pat, I just want to send you an old-fashioned email. And whoever thought we'd call email old-fashioned? It was new once upon a time. Anyway, you can just send us that. Email us at radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and send us an email all about your favorite local pizza place and why. What is it that makes it so good? You know, the crust, the sauce, the toppings, the creative use of the menu, whatever it might be. We'd love to hear what makes it uniquely yours. I guess I've delayed long enough, he says to Parker Olson, producer down in Madison Studio A2, and trying to avoid talking about the Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, getting absolutely shellacked by the Cubs last night and forcing a deciding game five. So the Cubs have survived two elimination games. Well, now it's an elimination game for both teams, both the Brewers and the Cubs facing elimination tomorrow night at American Family Field, pregame at 6:30. And then the first pitch itself about 7 o'clock, according to MLB.com here.
You know, last night I tweeted this and I would have to check the timestamp to remember exactly when I ducked out of this game. But for the first time, I think in my life, I stopped watching a Brewer game. I just could not handle it.
I feel like you're young enough. This should be. Do your parents have a baby book? You know, where they put like all your little milestones, like first steps and lost your first tooth.
First turned off. First rage quit of Brewer game.
First time. First rage quitting of a Brewers game. That's it. I'm out of here.
It was just everything was awful.
Well, you know what? Tony is taking the glass half full version, saying, I think the Brewers were just wanting to boost the Milwaukee economy with an elimination game at home.
Sure.
All right. Go with that. That's fine. All I ask of Brewers fans, and they did a fine job in games one and two. All I'm saying is game five, you better not have a voice when it's all over, because there will be plenty of Cub fans up there, and they're going to try so hard to make it feel like Wrigley Field North. Mm-hmm. And sometimes during the regular season, they get away with it. Oh, yeah. And so that's my only request. If you are fortunate enough to go see the Brewers Cubs game tomorrow night as a Brewers fan, there is absolutely no resting that voice. You make it loud in there.
Yes.
And make the Brewers understand this is a home game, and they have a pretty good home record. You know, got to wake up the bats, got to get the pitchers to do this weird thing called finding the strike zone and finding it in a way that the other team can't hit the ball over the fence, which seems to have been a problem in the first innings, especially
a pretty big thorn in their side. Yeah, we haven't talked about this at all, which I think is right. It's not like it has not been so abhorrent that we've had to talk about it. But the umpiring in this series has been questionable.
It has been. I'm not, you know, it's not to the point that, like you said, it's not the first thing that we bring up.
No.
But yes, there have definitely been times where, once again, I have said, bring on the robots.
Yeah.
I am so ready for that. And I get that, you know, a couple of times the ball will just nibble the strike zone. And it'll break your heart because, you know, an ump would normally call it, you know, one way, but the lines are the lines.
Yeah.
And so if you accept that's where the lines are, I'd rather have that than to have this so-called human factor on that. I don't want the human factor. I want it to be the right call.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. And I want the right call. I have that little buffer zone of like, if it's a quarter of the ball that's in the zone, fine. I get it. It's not, you're not going to be 100 out of 100. But there are balls that are literally like a ball or two away and they're getting called strikes, or a ball or two in and they're being called balls. It's so infuriating.
Yes. Tom in Hartford puts on the text line, to win at home is the charm. And yes, it would be, because if you can win at home, it reinforces why you worked so hard to have the best record in baseball this year and to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, because we now know the winner of tomorrow night's game will go on to face the Dodgers. The Dodgers eliminated the Phillies last night in one of the dumbest, goofiest ways imaginable. If you haven't seen it yet, look up the highlight for how the Dodgers-Phillies game came to an end on a throwing error, a simple little comeback to the pitcher who threw it home to get the runner, threw it wildly off the mark. This little toss that should have been easy enough to make, even for old goofballs like me with no shoulder. And he got a case of the yips, and that was it. Philly was out and the Dodgers are in.
It was also just the wrong decision. I think I read that it's the first time that a series has been won on a error.
It's a little surprising, but you can definitely see how that would be the case. You don't see something like that to clinch.
No.
A playoff series.
Yeah.
No, you don't. And that Philly pitcher is, you know, it's going to be a long winter for him and for all the Phillies fans, to which all the Mets fans are like, hey, welcome to the club, you know,
join us in Cancun. Let's go.
And that same feeling is going to befall the fans of either Seattle or Detroit. They have an elimination game tonight in their American League Division Series. And whether Seattle or Detroit comes out of that game tonight in Seattle, they will face Toronto on Sunday night in game one of the American League Championship Series. And again, for the Brewers, it's all about home field advantage. If they can win tomorrow night, then they will open up the National League Championship Series Monday night against the Dodgers. If the Cubs win, then it's the Dodgers who have the home field advantage, and game one of the NLCS, Dodgers-Cubs, would be Monday night in Los Angeles. But we're not going to worry about that. That's just...
I refuse. That's,
exactly. So again, pregame tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. We've got a whole lot of high school football tonight across the Civic Media radio network on local stations. Head over to civicmedia.us and then look up the individual local radio station homepages to find out if there's a game on the air near you. The Badger football team will be hosting Iowa. Coverage begins tomorrow at 4 p.m. on several Civic Media radio stations. And then you've got the Packers taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. And Joe Flacco, again, who they'd faced as the Cleveland quarterback and will now face him as the Cincinnati quarterback for, you know, the first time within a month. Him being traded this week from Cleveland to Cincinnati. Sunday's kickoff is at 3:25, and so coverage will begin at 1 o'clock on Sunday on several media several Civic Media radio stations.
Friday morning, huh?
Again, Friday morning, somebody traveling, getting back rather late. But it worked out. But it's that whole notion of you get back, you got the long drive from the airport, then you create Laundry Mountain, and then you begin to scale Laundry Mountain and get everything back in its place and actually get to sleep in your own bed and drink your own coffee in the morning.
Yeah. How was your travel? I haven't heard you. I expected complaining, to be perfectly honest, and I haven't heard complaining of the travel.
No complaining. It went just fine. I complained about Dallas traffic, but we got to the Dallas airport all right. Of course, there was airport construction because there's always airport construction. But we got in there fine. But because of the construction, we went to go eat in one of the restaurants, and we thought we'd be at like a table or a booth, and they shimmied us down this very narrow little hallway and put us at a counter. So we're sitting elbow to elbow at this counter looking out over the concourse.
Okay.
And so it was a little confined quarters, but, you know, again, travel days for us are fun. We, you know, we like to be able to go places and see people. And in my case, it was, like I was saying before, my chance to finally watch the Billy Joel documentary on the HBO Max app. And I knew it was long. I didn't realize it was that long, that in 2 airplane flights, I haven't been able to finish it yet, but it's so, so good. And I, even though I haven't finished it yet, I just highly recommend it to anybody who has any kind of connection to Billy Joel songs and interest in him. You don't have to be the world's biggest fan to appreciate the stories that are being told, all the cameos that are in there by Paul McCartney and Sting and Pink and Garth Brooks and everybody else commenting on the music. So it is, it's really wonderful. My wife was watching Happy Gilmore 2 on her phone over at her seat, saying it too is really good. And it too has a whole bunch of cameos that are worth watching. So, you know, so we have to catch up on each other's shows over the weekend as well. And now that the sun's coming up, I finally have to look in the backyard and see, to what degree are we raking? Are we mowing? Are we just throwing up our hands and going, huh, yeah, you know, let the wind do what it will with it?
Give it a week.
I honestly don't know. I haven't looked out yet since the sun has come up, but fall's arrived temperature wise.
Yes.
And it will apparently look to be fairly consistent temps here with highs in the 60s and lows in the low 40s, and a chance of showers moving back in for early Monday across parts of Wisconsin. And again, you can catch your local forecast on the Civic Media radio network throughout the course of the day, including Matinair on Air, which follows this fine program. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach will be here from 9 to 11. And again, my thanks for everybody who helped take part in the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, which wrapped up a week ago. And as we looked at all the numbers of people who texted in at all different times of day, we really appreciated the growth and all the people who wanted to try to win the grand prize and all of the daily prizes. And we are looking for new and fun ways to incorporate that texting feature from the Civic Media app, which you can use anytime. Text us anytime to send us a message, ask us a question. We'd love to have that. And in the very new future, award prizes again for your participation. Our Week in Review panel is coming up live from the heart of America's up north here on Lake Wasota. Thanks for making this place part of your mornings. This is the Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
In the studio with us today to talk about a chili benefit supper that's coming up in 1 week, Tom and Laura Gazinski with Celebrate Recovery and now Celebration Place for Kids here in Richland Center. Good morning to the both of you. Good to see you again.
Good morning. Good morning.
You had this a year ago, this chili feed, but Laura, this one this year is a little bit different, a little bit more special, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we're really excited because we're the only recovery program or, you know, peer support program where there is actually a curriculum for the children, a fun curriculum for the children, where their parents are learning about forgiveness, they're learning about it, but their object lessons are a whole lot different, you know, because it engages the kids. And so the parents and children can talk about it, and parents who couldn't go to get support, whether it's for their grief, their addictions, no matter divorce, whatever their struggles are, you know, they couldn't go because they had kids. And now we've got great programming for their children.
Tell us about the chili supper, what that's all about.
All right. So we've got at least 4 different kinds of chilies. And for those who don't like beans or chili, we've got chicken soup. And so, you know, chili and all the fixings and desserts. And that's going to be next Thursday from 6 to 8 at the Nazarene Outreach Center across from Family Dollar. And bring your kids if you want to let us know ahead of time. I'll give you Tom's phone number a couple of times. It's also, there's an article in the newspaper. There's ads in the newspaper with that phone numbers, which might be easier, but it's 608 604-4510. But yeah, bring your kids because we've got programming for them now.
Let's talk about that a little bit, Tom, with kids. A lot of times the kids are probably going through some areas of struggle, you know, maybe blaming themselves and things like that. Could you talk about that?
Certainly can. We all have issues that we deal with. And what people don't realize is that while I could be going through something with, one of my issues is alcohol. And while I could be going through that, my kids are also suffering because they're seeing the effects that I'm having on the family. And so the kids and the spouse also need help, need support to be able to deal with the issues that I'm causing in the family. So sober recovery is a place for everyone. The kids, like say Laura's talking in the kids program portion, will be able to deal with those type of issues. The spouses can come into the adult portion and help deal with the issues that they're experiencing with my issues.
34th anniversary. How long have you been involved, Tom?
We've been involved since 2019 here in Richland Center. We started through Grace Church, Grace Community Church.
In June of 2019.
Yeah.
So made it through COVID.
That was a struggle for every organization.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. So here you are. And, you know, and it certainly, I'm guessing you've seen the benefits of what your program can do right in the area, right?
We definitely have. And, you know, it's really exciting to know that the Sober Recovery has this celebration place for kids because, like Laura was saying, they can get this exact programming, age specific, that they can start building their resiliency. They can build their coping mechanisms that otherwise they might not have developed to begin with.
And then you meet pretty much every Thursday night, don't you?
Yes, we do. Every Thursday night at the Nazarene Outreach Center, which is behind the Nazarene Church, and across the street from Family Dollar.
If somebody's listening and wants to know more about it, Tom, you've been through it. I mean, you can probably tell somebody your story then, right?
Oh, I definitely can. There's been a lot of things over my 72 years that I've been involved with, been not so good things I've done, good things I've done. And that's the nice thing about Celebrate Recovery is that we celebrate not only what people's recovery, journey in recovery is, but also the good things they've done in their lives, because I can always dwell on my alcohol and say, I'm no good because I'm an alcoholic. However, I've done all this other wonderful stuff, and Celebrate Recovery helps me to work through those things so I understand that I am a worthwhile person in Jesus Christ.
It's easy to be kind of an Eeyore, I'll say, you know, like Winnie the Pooh, like, you know, woe is me, right?
Right, exactly. And when I do that, I'm dwelling on myself and my issues. I need to dwell on my issues, but I'm dwelling on myself versus trying to turn it over to God, which is where, you know, God wants to take away these issues that I'm dealing with so I can better serve him, better be his minister here on earth. And it's, my issues that I've dealt with have equipped me to come alongside of other people who are also dealing with those same type of issues, just as Laura's issues help her with the women that she's dealing with those type of issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, maybe you could talk on that, Laura, a little bit.
And only 30% of people worldwide in Celebrate Recovery struggle with drugs and alcohol. Everybody, 100% of us, struggle with other things. You know, what's the underlying issues? You know, so, you know, maybe it was, you know, we were, you know, had trauma in our childhood. Maybe we were raised where, you know, fear, shame, and guilt were the weapons that our parents used against us. Or, you know, it's amazing. Being bullied in one grade in school is enough to make somebody feel worthless. And so, you know, it's not like everybody is struggling with drugs and alcohol, because the majority of us aren't, you know, but we are all struggling with something. You know, loss, like I said, trauma, trust issues, or, you know, we can get as a country, especially since COVID, you know, there's been so many mental health, so much anxiety, so much depression, and in the kids. It's not just adults who are struggling in these areas. And to realize that, you know, someone would go, well, how can you deal with so many things at the same time?
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
An information vacuum may be one of the biggest challenges that Wisconsin farmers face with the government shutdown. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Jenny Wackershauser, who is a dairy analyst with EverAg out of Platteville, says without the necessary data from USDA, markets are left wondering what's going on, what's being sold, what volumes are we producing. And she said dairy producers need that data for some of the insurance products that they're going to be leaning on.
We start to get a lack of information that includes our monthly milk production report, which will be here in about a week here for dairy producers. So not only does that give us a look at what did September do as far as milk production, number of cows in the herd, it also is a trigger for producers who utilize the dairy revenue protection program through the crop insurance. Part of that program is we need to have that milk production data to do the final report.
Jenny Wackershauser, she's a dairy analyst with the EverAg crew out of Platteville. She said the last time this happened was 2018. And she said at that time, when the markets didn't have USDA data, they traded sideways for the duration.
What is the Dairyland seed difference? The answer is found in our difference makers. Our seeds are developed and delivered for unrivaled performance in and only in the Upper Midwest. Our local dealers, expert agronomists, and everyone throughout our organization who live to make life better on farms and in the community. It's our people, products, and pedigree that combine to make a true difference that you can see on the bottom line and feel in your heart. Learn more about our difference makers at DairylandSeedDifference.com.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
We're off to a lower start on a Friday morning in overnight trade. December corn's down a half at 4.17. November soybeans are down a nickel, 10.16. July wheat, that's down a half, 5.47. Barrel cheese was unchanged yesterday at 174. 40-pound block cheese did gain 2.25 at 176, but AA butter was down 4.75 cents to 160.25 per pound. November, class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 4 right now at 16.60, 100 weight, with the December contract down 9 at 16.65. Just a quick market snapshot for you on a Friday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
It is going to be another really nice fall day today. Partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, another great day with sunshine and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Frequent guest and former Republican operative Carlton Huffman joins the show to talk about all the day's headlines. Join me.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back at 7:35 on this Friday morning, October 10th, and we're here with our Week in Review panel, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Chicago journalist Mark Jacob, and Jennifer Schulze. And Jennifer, let me start with you, and let's talk about the government shutdown briefly here. And the fact of the matter is, it is essentially a messaging battle with a whole lot of pawns, like all federal employees, troops who aren't getting paid, air traffic controllers who aren't getting paid. And Sean Duffy says maybe they need to be fired, even though there's a shortage of air traffic controllers. And Republicans continuing to insist, despite math, that this is somehow the Democrats' fault. But the right wing also has a very robust media ecosystem. Where do the American people appear to be at this point in understanding why the U.S. government is shut down?
Well, every poll, every legitimate poll shows that the American public believe that Republicans are to blame. Surprise, surprise, they know that Republicans are in control of the government, that they, you know, hold both houses of Congress and the presidency and the Supreme Court, by the way. So the public gets it. But that doesn't stop Republicans, and that doesn't stop, you know, right-wing media from every single day figuring out a way to talk about it so that it shifts the focus to Democrats. But people are also simultaneously getting their notices about their health care premiums going up. And the good news about bad news is that reality, you know, kicks you in the head sometimes. And so, I mean, I know I've gotten those in the mail this week about what's happening to my premiums. The whole country's getting that. The truth is that healthcare is a serious problem and that Republicans can't pretend that that's the Democrats' fault.
No.
Or they can try.
Yeah. And they have been trying. And Mark, that's the thing. I mean, we work in political journalism. We understand the importance of politics, but we also know that when some people take politics, play politics, and move it too far away from reality, reality normally wins, like seeing your health insurance premiums go up or your flights getting delayed or things like that. Is that like pretty much every other shutdown, how this thing eventually ends? Is the people playing politics are going to get trumped, pun intended, by reality?
Well, I think this is playing out a little differently. You know, I mean, back when Gingrich tried to pull it on Clinton, Gingrich got hurt. And it is true that the Democrats are they're not going along. They are using the filibuster power to require, you know, 60 votes in the Senate in order to get this done. And what they're doing is what politicians do, which is try to get something out of the deal. And what they're trying to get is relief for Americans on their healthcare bills. And so that's really a good issue for the Democrats. And for the Republicans, Trump is trying to act like he's Mr. Get Things Done, Mr. Efficiency, Mr. You know, we're in charge of everything. It's, you know, the golden era kind of stuff. And you can't have a golden era. I came vacationed in Mexico City last week, and I landed at O'Hare, and I sat on the runway for 2 hours and 20 minutes waiting for a gate. Ooh. And that was, I believe, you know, I don't have proof, but I believe that it was because of the shutdown and people are being required to work, you know, as air traffic controllers, but they're not getting paid. So some people are calling in sick. And so this kind of chaos and inefficiency really reflects on the party that, as Jennifer pointed out, is in charge of everything right now.
And look, if they, meaning the Trump administration and Republicans, found more ways to try to focus the blame on Democrats, maybe they would be getting away with it. But they're also busy doing all these other things, like putting, trying to put troops in other cities. Or, Jim, in this case, you've got the Trump administration now indicting New York Attorney General Letitia James, who prosecuted, you know, some of Donald Trump's other cases. And again, the vindictiveness is so obvious. And the same goes for indicting James Comey, you know, a week ago, that, I mean, it only helps them take their eye off the ball because they're trying to do so many distractions at once. Letitia James is simply the latest example of it.
She definitely is. And she is not the last. The president denies that there's a list, but there is a list. He's identified who's coming next. That's Adam Schiff, the senator from California, likely George Soros. Remember, Fannie Willis from Georgia, she's on the list. Christopher Wray, all these people anticipate that now that we are truly in this authoritarian regime, that they will also be indicted. By whom? By the insurance lawyer who's now occupying the position of U.S. attorney, going into a grand jury. Grand jury, more and more, we're finding out. Obviously, we're interested to see what they did with the Letitia James indictment, pushing back on some of this, but finding just enough probable cause. And in this case, identifying what probably are once again unfounded allegations. The notion here has to do less with mortgage fraud. It's about banking fraud, saying that she had this home in Norfolk, Virginia. That's where you get the venue. That's why she's being prosecuted in Virginia. That's where this house is, instead of using it as her, as or using it as a rental property instead of a secondary home. And once again, it underscores the complete lack of not just focus, but of observance of anything related to the rule of law. If we were to say once again that there's a country out there where there's a leader who today is prosecuting his political enemies and seeking to jail them, what would we all say? Oh my gosh, that's a place where there's no rule of law. We would call that a banana republic. Welcome to the United States of America. And we're hold on for more of this. It's just going to continue.
Well, and it just seems to me, Mark, that if this were happening, say Joe Biden were doing this kind of vindictiveness, that had this kind of vendetta, along with the things that he would do and say throughout the course of the day, there would be talk about a cognitive and a mental decline. And the evidence of Donald Trump's decline is so out there, plain as day, for anybody to see. And yet it feels like the press corps doesn't want to connect those dots because they'll be accused of, oh, there they go again. You know, they did it to Biden. So they're trying so hard, it seems, not to do it with Trump.
Yeah. And you really have to wonder whether Trump is actually, you know, actually knows what's going on. I mean, obviously, he's a figurehead and he, you know, he's the charismatic, you know, cult of personality guy. But I just don't wonder whether he's pulling the strings. I mean, he keeps on saying crazy stuff like that Portland, Oregon has no stores open, you know, or that there was even a time when he said, well, you know, you're telling me that the things I'm saying on TV aren't really the things that are happening. Or, you know, he made quotes that make you think that there's this one quote that he said about that made it seem as if he had been watching a Fox News report that mixed in the current situation in Portland with, you know, more extreme stuff from years ago, from 2020. And it's like he didn't know the difference between those two things. And so I don't think he's operating in a system of reality, and which is scary, because then you have like this crazy man, Stephen Miller, pulling the strings. People really need to ask very seriously whether Trump, you know, has all his marbles and whether he's actually, you know, calling the shots, or if he's just kind of doing crazy tweets like that crazy thing about med beds that he did, you know, a while back about something that doesn't even exist, that is a video that even had a fake AI version of him, yet Trump posted it.
Yeah. And you know, Jennifer, if maybe some of the White House press corps isn't doing the work that it should, how do you feel like it's being seen in markets like Chicago, Portland, and elsewhere? Do you feel like they're taking things a bit more seriously in terms of the, you know, the crisis that this is all actually creating?
Well, the thing about local news is that that's just one of many stories that are getting covered. You know, I always do a quick look around to see what the headlines are and the big stories on any given local newscast in Chicago or newspaper. And, you know, we've got a mix of things as opposed to a national network news program, which is more focused on politics, right? So, no, the Trump stuff, if it's directly relating to Chicago as it is here, that's a big story. If it's less so, it's never the main thing and it doesn't get a lot of attention and it certainly doesn't get repeat attention. So, you know, it just depends. People like their local news and the local news generally does not involve Trump, although it does more and more with healthcare and food prices and that. So I don't know how much of the Trump crazy breaks through the local news. And then the only other way people are getting their information is on social media, which is, you know, not so reliable. So I don't know.
Not so reliable. That's the kindest way that you could possibly put that. Jennifer, do you want to kick us off on the significance of the Nobel Peace Prize being awarded this morning to the opposition leader in Venezuela and the significance of it and just how much is Trump going to lose it today about not getting this prize that he campaigned for so blatantly?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that really got me last night was The Guardian posted a story that said Norway is actually worried as of yesterday that if Trump didn't get the prize, and the Norwegian government has nothing to do with the prize, FYI, but they were worried about the blowback for their country. They were even in this article talking about they thought that Trump would declare Norway an enemy of the United States. And so, I mean, that's how insane this is. There is a country across the ocean that is sitting there gaming out how they need to be ready to respond to an angry man in the White House not getting the Nobel Prize. They didn't know who it was going to go to as of yesterday, but they were already planning their strategy about how to respond to him being angry about it. So who knows what he's going to do? The White House has already posted something, you know, just crazy about how he's the greatest peacemaker in the world and how dare they?
Oh. How dare they? How dare they?
They're calling it, the White House is calling it politics over peace. You know, so they're denouncing the fact that a brave opposition leader in Venezuela was honored for risking her life for freedom.
And by the way, not just risking her life, but, you know, the entire country is faced with a leader right now who did not win the last election. Right. Every outside observer looking at the ballots coming in said it was clear that Maduro did not win. He is still in power anyway, which is, I don't know, a testimony to something that there's not a violent civil war going on there right now. But the fact that there is still an opposition leader who can do something to keep the subject in front of the people at least has to give people in Venezuela and around the world some hope. So it seems, Mark, like perfect recognition.
Yeah, I mean, and wouldn't it be really classy for the White House? Not that you associate Trump and classy very often, but wouldn't it be really classy just to say, boy, what a great choice that was. You know, we celebrate, you know, Machado for, you know, for what she's done and hope that in the end it'll work for the Venezuelan people. Is that so hard to say?
Yes, yes. The
yes,
correct
it is,
answer.
Mark. What are you talking about?
It is, and it is the reason I bring this up is I just, again, without trying to sound too alarmist here, is what is life going to be like in 2028 if Trump, like Maduro, decides I'm not going to recognize these results? He's going to have troops on streets trying to intimidate voters. And I feel like even for all the things that he rails against the Venezuelan government for, I feel like it's there as a potential manual for him to follow over the next couple of years, which is part of the reason that I bring it up this morning with Mark Jacob, with Jennifer Schulze, with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, our Week in Review panel joining us today. And in our next hour, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along, and Mike Clemens will talk about the Brewers now facing elimination against the Cubs tomorrow. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like six tacos, nachos, Bel Grande. I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
District Administrator Steve Board reported the third Friday numbers to the Board of Education. The projected number of students was projected to be 1,105 for a decline of 45 students. The final third Friday count was actually 1,174 students for an increase of 69 students. What helped was open enrollment. Last year, the difference between open enrollment in and out the district was minus 155 students. This year, the difference is minus 133. This means that the district is gaining students back. The board also approved 2 open enrollment in applications and 5 open enrollment out applications for the 2025-26 school year. The board also approved authorizing the district administrator to approve applications for open enrollment into the district on behalf of the board effective immediately. Such approval shall be reported to the Board of Education at the next regular meeting for ratification and record keeping. The Richland School Board also approved waiving the policy for school events on Wednesdays, Sundays, and holidays to allow the Strengthening Families program to meet after 7 p.m. during their 2025-26 school year. The program will be held Wednesday evenings during the 6 weeks. Richland School District Administrator reminded everyone that the district's annual meeting will be held Monday, October 20th at 6:30 in the high school IMC. He invites everyone to attend to make your voice be heard. The UW-Richland Alumni Association held its annual Fall Alumni Day to honor outstanding alumni from the Teachers College and campus. The mood of the day was that they could close our campus, but they can't kill our spirit. Lisa Bailing, Executive Secretary of the Richland County Campus Foundation, gave an update on how the foundation is keeping its legacy going.
We're able to honor our students and our alumni and our community with still being here. So with that legacy, we are still awarding scholarships. We awarded 113 students over $100,000 for this year. The other way that we are still honoring our legacy is through community grants. We give about $25,000 a year away to groups, organizations that are educating our community in some type of program. The last area that we are still honoring our legacy is through the Smart Farm. Trails are still open. We encourage you to come on out and use them. They are marked very well. You won't get lost in the woods, but it's there, and it's there for the community to use.
Bailing added that this is possible through the legacy of Darla Wentz. The Alumni Association honored all alumni who attended the event Saturday, as well as recognized five outstanding individuals. From the Richland County Teachers College, Ken Hansen from the class of 1965 and Jane Goplin Kinney from the class of 1967 were both honored. Kinney said the college was a help throughout her life.
It is an honor to be here and to share the stage with one of my favorite nephews. When I started out my education, I graduated from high school, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what I wanted to do or what I wanted to be or anything. But a lot of people were going to the teacher's college, so I thought, oh, why not? I'll give that away. So I went there for 2 years, and I got an associate's degree. And that associate's degree has taken me to many plateaus.
Her nephew, Terry Canossi, attended the UW campus and is from the class of 1976. He was also honored and talked about the times of his experience.
You got to think about what the world was like then, Richland Center in particular. And we were right in the midst of the Vietnam War. We had so many kids at the high school. We were bursting at the seams. The city kids came at 7 in the morning. The country kids came at 9. We overlapped so that there was enough space to get everybody out of there. We had bomb threats, it seemed like, every other day, and we were getting out of school. But we had these amazing mentors and role models from Coy Cohn and Lil Keegan and Jim Elwell and Claire Haig, who just recently passed, and Denny Morgan and Ted Wheelock and people like that who we looked up to so much. But it was an era where discipline was the foremost thing that we kind of had to worry about at that time, you know, just to keep everybody in line. And when I went to the campus, it was such a breath of fresh air. Not that what happened at the high school wasn't good, but it was a nurturing environment. They wanted you to succeed.
Another outstanding alum, Julie Brock Stebbins from the class of 1973, said the education she received at UW-Richland was top-notch.
I can think back like it was yesterday in a way. It's over 50-some years, you know, but I always was impressed by the expertise of our faculty, the teachers. We were treated to some very, very high level teaching, and having a small or smaller class size, I think, was so beneficial to all of us. And, you know, if you had a question, you could go to your professor, and you didn't feel like you had to stand in line a long time. So, and as you know, the faculty there was top-notch and always was, even after the years I left and went to Madison to school.
The fifth honoree from the UW-Richland campus was Todd Albaugh from the class of 1991. Many know him for his work on WRCO and his current show on WRCE, but he is rooted in the UW-Richland campus as his grandmother, Marge Wallace, helped establish the campus and became the first woman to serve as dean within the UW system.
My grandmother said this when she retired out at the Student Center. She summed it up and she looked at, I think it was Chancellor Alstick, wasn't it, from Platteville? And she said, quote, of starting the campus, she said, quote, we worked so hard, and we kind of took a few things. We got called some names, but it was worth it, wasn't it? It was worth it, in my opinion. As long as we keep not just her, but all the spirit of the campus alive, it'll continue to be worth it. So thank you very much, everyone.
The spirit of the UW-Richland campus lives on, even after the doors have been shut. After all, once a roadrunner, always a roadrunner.
You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The first stage of the U.S. brokered ceasefire in Gaza is underway. The Israeli military says its forces have withdrawn to agreed deployment lines. President Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, says the 72-hour period for Hamas to release all hostages has begun. ABC's Mary Bruce is at the White House with the latest.
The big question, then what? The president's 20-point plan had called for Hamas to disarm and for Gaza to be governed by an apolitical Palestinian committee, overseen by an international board of peace, with Trump as its chairman.
No Nobel Peace Prize for President Trump. It's been awarded to Venezuela's opposition leader, Maria Machado. The government shutdown continues after the Senate departed without passing a funding resolution. Military members are set to miss their paychecks next week. National Guard troops expected to arrive in Memphis today, but not Chicago, after a federal judge blocked Trump administration efforts to deploy in Illinois. This is ABC.